public hearing is subdivision number 2014-5, Everett C. Lathbury Jr. I'm sorry, the third.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential zoning district in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, dividing 19.16 acres into six lots, and a waiver from the forested buffer requirements. Site is located north of Route 54, Omar Road, 657 feet east of Route 342 Gray Road, and also being east of Gray Road, Route 342, 764 feet north of Route 54, Omar Road. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 134, Map 11, Parcel 40. The reason for the duplication of road names is that this site has road frontage on two roads. I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments relating to this application.
Mr. Chairman, the Technical Advisory Committee review of October the 3rd is a part of the record. We provided each of you with a copy of that. We provided you a copy of the preliminary plan. The buffer waiver request, the subdivision ordinance states that any subdivision more than four lots would be surrounded by a 20-foot landscape forested buffer. The four lots, you could really say this is two different developments. You have lots 9 through 12 being accessed off of a private street, and lots 7 and 8 have access off of County Road 342. Typically, the commission's never required a buffer around strip lots, so we advertise the waiver request just to be on the safe side. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, then. We thank you, sir. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening? Okay, if you'll come up, give us your name, please.
Stand right here.
I'm Everett C. Lathbury III.
And this is the owner, one of the owners of the property. My name is Maxwell Morris. I live on Birdhaven Street in Ocean View, Delaware. I am a self-employed land surveyor, and I prepared the plan that was turned in as a part of this application.
All right, then.
The reason we're here this evening is to ask the Planning and Zoning Commission if they will approve our application to create six lots in the AR1 zone at the intersection of Omar Road and Gray Road. As you can see from the survey plan, and as Mr. Abbott stated, two or three of those lots are actually strip lots cut off of existing roads. The remaining three or four lots, depending on how you look at it, would be accessed by a short private road we would have to build to create, obviously, the access off of the county road for the three larger lots in the back. We would also like to request that we do get the commission does approve the landscape, the waiver from the landscape buffer. In this particular case, we don't feel it's necessary due to the size and shape of the lots. On the, I guess it's the easterly side of the property, we essentially already have a buffer between the residual lands or lot 12, I forget what it is, and the gentleman to the east. There is a, along that 1,000-foot line there, there is a very large and wide hedgerow that runs the extent of that line. So essentially, we already do have a buffer between us and that neighbor to the east and then to the north. Again, due to the configuration of the lots, there is a tremendous separation between where we feel the lots would be developed and the rear of the lot where we would join the agricultural use in the back. The two lots that are going to be stripped off along Gray Road, we certainly don't feel there's any need for a 25-foot buffer on that side. I feel that would encroach and cut down the actual buildable area on that one the one lot there to the north. We've received the comments from the Technical Advisory Committee. I've looked them over. I don't see anything there that we certainly can't address in terms of revisions. I think Mr. Lathbury has looked over those and doesn't necessarily have any problems with those. We can work with, I think DelDOT had some issues. I believe the engineering office had a few issues, some additional things wanted on the plan. And we don't see any problem in doing those asked for revisions. Really don't have a whole lot other to say on the application. To me, it's fairly simple and fairly straightforward. We certainly would be glad to answer any questions the commission might have at this time.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
Yes, good evening. Has DelDOT granted you entrance permits for lots 7, 8, and 12 directly to those roads? So they have been approved?
Yes. If it's supposed to be a shared entrance, we may have to go back because of the area of their septic. We may have to work with them somehow on that because the septic needs to be right in the middle of the lots too. So, but yeah, they have granted us.
So it would be in between the two lots, 7 and 8, and then 12 would have its own individual access to Omar Road?
No, I don't think they're going to let 12 access onto Omar Road. They prefer we access off of the private, 50-foot private lane, the Ida Jane Lane, I think is the call of that.
Got you. And then it looks like lot 12 is by and large wooded.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So it would be reasonable to think that you would be able to leave at least that portion on that property line as a wooded buffer, the 20 feet there, because it's already existing, right?
That's exactly right. I don't think we would need to clear the majority of that lot. I think there's room to put the house in the open area. We would have to, it looks like, clear some of that area for where we propose the septic to be, as that lot, as we go east through the lot, the elevation increases, and so I think we should be able to maybe even get a gravity system on that particular lot if we push it to the easterly side of the lot there. But yes, I think the majority of that woods would stay, and that would actually create a separation from that lot and Omar Road. So there should be some buffer between that lot and where the home is built and Omar Road. A buffer to the east. Obviously, we have quite a large distance between us and the neighbor to the east on that lot.
Okay, it's kind of hard to call lots 9, 10, and 11 lots are almost parcels.
Yes, they are what, 4 or 5 acres, 6 acre tracts there, yes.
And I guess everything's been septic evaluation. At least you have septic evaluation.
Yes, we have. Right, I didn't have that shown on the plan, but we shaped the lots in such a fashion as to try and take advantage of the limited good areas for septics there. And like I said, that was one of the reasons why we hope we can get the waiver for the buffer requirement, because the good septic along those lots is essentially right along the edge of the private road. So we feel the septic will be very close to the road, and then the home would simply be 40, 50, 60 feet off of that, as opposed to 500 foot back into that field, and where it may be, where in that case it would actually maybe perhaps impact in the neighbor's agricultural use.
Did you check for wetlands on the site?
The only wetlands I see on the site, we haven't had someone go out there. That was one of the comments, but I believe some or all of those agricultural ditches would probably qualify as wetlands. And I have contacted an associate of mine who will review the property and sign the plan.
But before you get final site plan approval, you'd have to have a wetland statement on your...
Yes, right. He's right. We're going to have a statement on there, and he is going to address that.
No further questions.
We'll certainly take care of that.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Certainly.
Mr. Johnson.
So could you explain to us where you feel that the agricultural buffer is not needed on here? Because looking at the survey that you presented to us, the only wooded area that is shown on it is there on lot 12.
Right. Well, we did define the woods there on the front. But again, on the eastern side of the property, which north is essentially straight up the property on the right-hand side. I guess that's the large lot there. Is that lot 11?
That's 6 acres.
Next to the Harper's property, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have the gentleman's name there. That entire property line runs down the center of a sort of wooded hedgerow. It's not a hedgerow. It's actually a grown-up woods that when this, I guess this is actually ag land, we cleared as much as we could there. The neighbor on the other side cleared, but there is at least a 20 or 30 foot wide stand of woods for along that entire property line. So so it's not shown on there, but essentially it does exist. It shows up on the aerial photographs that were part of the technical advisory comments. And the reason I said that I don't feel we need the buffer on the north side or the top of the page there is that the development done on those three large lots that you referred to will be up along the private road where the septic area is. And I don't think we develop all the way back along that ditch there. So the agricultural use on our neighbor to the north there, I don't think would affect the houses that would be built on those properties. And I don't think necessarily that the owners of those particular lots would build something back that would in any way interfere with the farming operations on the adjoining property. I believe that's a cornfield back there for right now.
So as I understand it, then the only area right now that would be perhaps buffered is along lot 11 with the trees that are existing there now.
Right, right. There's a natural separation between those two properties, and it's 20, 30 feet wide. It varies, but it's a stand of mature trees.
Yeah.
You agree? They're a mix. It's not just a hedgerow of multi-floor rows or something like that people plant there. It's substantial.
Mr. Abbott, what's the required setback with that agricultural buffer?
For a dwelling, it would be 50 feet.
50 feet?
Yeah.
Okay, so perhaps maybe along lot 11, you're not talking about much of a hardship in terms of having to meet that 50-foot buffer.
That's a setback.
That's a setback.
The buffer was, did you say 20 or 25?
The agricultural buffer is out of the ordinance now.
It's just the buffer that surrounds the whole
perimeter buffer for subdivisions more than four lots. That's what I said. Take 9 through 12, that's four.
Right.
You don't need the buffer, but with the two strip lots, we've never required buffers on those. So we basically advertised for the waiver request to be on the safe side.
So the other strip lots, 1 through 6, that they've been done previously?
Right.
Yes.
And that was as many lots as you could strip, is that?
Yes.
So that left you with the option of where you are today?
Yes. We started this not knowing what we were doing. Before we got an engineer involved, we just started making lots, and then we found out we'd reached our maximum. It's inherited land. I have three siblings and a cousin, and we're just trying to divide it up for the family.
Understand. And restrictive covenants, have they been submitted?
I'm sorry?
The restrictive covenants, have you?
No.
I don't have a copy of
no
them
proposed
yet, no.
Restrictions have been submitted.
Okay, because that was part of the letter that you that was sent to them in terms of, that was in that mass of papers that you got.
That's exactly right, and we've looked that over. We've talked about that a little bit. I don't know if we're going to do a lot with that. In terms of restricting these lots.
Well, without the restrictive covenants, you don't get approval.
All righty.
The purpose of the restrictive covenants is to show that there's maintenance of the roads, common areas, et cetera. That's the primary one we're looking at.
That note has been on the plan.
And the other restriction be what you came up with on your own, but it still has to be approved by the county attorney.
Okay, so right, we'll actually put that on the document as opposed to trying to cover the that maintenance with just a note on the plan, which is what I've done in the past. Okay. But we can certainly create a set of restrictive covenants. We didn't do that on the strip lots. Perhaps we should have, because what you run into when you strip off lots along the road, if there are no restrictions, the first home out there sort of sets the tone for the whole neighborhood. And so you have to kind of be careful, especially now that real estate is a little bit depressed in terms of value. People may not build the nicest home in the world out there. So we do understand the need for some restrictive covenants.
So what do you anticipate happening with the large lots 9, 10, and 11? Because what I'm hearing you say is that the homes are likely to be built close to the road.
Because that's where the good septic area is. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes,
so that way they don't have to have a...
And then someone will have a 3 or 4 acre, essentially, little farmette with which to do something. So I don't know how that's going to work out. If that's, I guess it kind of depends on pricing. But I've done lots of subdivisions of this sort of 4 and 5 acre variety. And I think people really like those lots because they give them a little separation. And with the depressed real estate values, they're you know, people are buying 5 acres for very reasonable sums, and you know, have their own little I guess farmette, or however you'd like to classify that. But those are gorgeous lots. I'd love to have something of that size at the prices they're asking today.
Well, what we find happening on occasion is, and you may hear that later tonight if you choose to stay for the rest of the evening with us, is that folks will come back with a 6-acre lot like you have here and then suddenly want to carve it up and create 2 or 3 lots.
Yeah, I guess technically that would be possible, technically. I don't know how Chip feels that, but perhaps in the restrictive covenants we could write the note that no further re-subdivision of these lots would be allowed. That would certainly be, in my opinion, the best way to address that. Make sure it's in restrictive covenants, make sure the attorneys put that in the deed.
So if I was to buy lot 10, what would prevent me from putting a pig farm there?
Nothing that I'm aware of. Our neighbor did have a pig farm.
That's
in
your restrictive covenant.
And has just taken them out. But the zone, you know, the property obviously is zoned AR1.
Not big enough to have pigs.
Big enough to have chicken house.
They could have hogs for their own personal enjoyment.
Okay.
That'd be it.
They're pets.
That'd be it.
What about chicken house? On 6 acres?
Only a certain number of chickens. Oh, on 6 acres, then they could have a chicken house. Yep. But not on the 4 acre number 10.
Okay. So I should buy lot 11.
Yep. If you're interested in doing that, you need the lot 11.
Actually, it's a cattle farm. There's cattle right next to us there on the Harpers, so that wouldn't be any problem.
And then you had setbacks to deal with. You might, I don't know, I can't see the size of
that's,
the farm.
I mean, that's a very good point that you make, because
that's why you have restricted
because the
codes.
Other people are going to build houses and assume, well, this is now residential, but if some of these parcels are large enough to continue with an agricultural use, you're exactly right. The guy on the end there, I guess, could technically squeeze in a chicken house on the end,
they're
and that wouldn't make his neighbors very happy, that's for sure.
Lines and residents of other ownership.
Because essentially that's what happened in Ocean Pines when they originally built that in Maryland. The farmer owned the land by the road. He started raising pigs.
Yeah.
They didn't want to have the big development behind it.
All right. Well, that's a very good point. Again, I don't do a lot of major subdivisions. I usually do the minors where we're just stripping off lots and we don't address these issues. But I think we will we'll deal with the – or we'll ask work with the Planning Zoning Office and see if we can get some examples of some restrictive covenants that we can feel comfortable with that, you know, allow people the maximum use of their land but kind of restrict some of these what might be seen as offensive uses perhaps due to odors and dust and those types of, you know, agricultural things.
Yeah,
certainly. We'll certainly be glad to address that.
And as was mentioned before, you're aware of the need for the wetlands delineation.
Yes. Yeah. That should be that shouldn't be anything too major that we can't address. Like I said, I've done a lot of this work, and I do have experience with wetlands. And in my opinion, from what I've seen, it's only the ag ditches that would be classified as wetland areas. So I don't think any development of any of the parcels would impact them in any way.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no further questions at this point.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Burton.
Are there any additional setbacks with the Blackwater tax ditch? Are there any buffers that?
Well, there would be a tax ditch easement. Do we know what the easement, which side it's on, or the?
You know, there is, I spoke with you about that, and
yeah.
You do not get a bill, do you?
No, I don't think, I'm not sure it's a tax ditch. It's a tributary to the Blackwater, but I'm not
completely sure of that. I was hoping maybe we got the comments back, from DENREC, there would be some resolution that, yes, that little section of ditch we have there is in fact part of the tax ditch system or is not. But speaking with Mr. Lathbury, he's never received a bill, he and the family, so I guess the assumption is perhaps it's not.
It's significant, though, because it says on the survey that it's the Blackwater tax ditch.
So. It says it on the tax map and
And if that's the case, areas. There's probably a tax ditch easement.
So where it begins and ends, it depends on how you look at it. It appears that the tax ditch could, in fact, run across the back, down behind lots 8 and 9, and then through 5 and 6 or whatever as it crosses
my
the road.
My point is it's not our business to determine that. You need to determine that on the final
certainly.
Site plan.
Well, that's why I said I was going to wait for the technical advisory committee, but I don't necessarily see anything from DENREC in there saying yes, it is or yes, it isn't. But I will gladly talk to those people here in Georgetown and ask them, because the easements on those tax ditches sometimes are very large, and it's becoming obviously more and more of an issue now, whereas in the past we never even thought about tax ditches. But
where does this tax ditch run? Does it run down the back of lot 11, 10, 9, and then turn and go in between 6 and 7?
Not between 6 and 7, between 6 and 7 or to the north of the ditch. If it is a tax ditch, it comes across.
No, I believe you're right. 6 and 7 is
so
it in the
does
plan.
Turn
well, I believe I'm not sure if the flow is the other way, but
I'll
yes.
7 and 8. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah. That and crosses the road there, and I think it's yeah. That's correct.
And with a tax ditch, there's only an easement requirement, not a buffer requirement.
No, that's right. There's an easement, and they can be significant, but it should be shown on here because. There's been issues where, you know, easements aren't clearly shown and people interfere with them, you know, and don't realize they're there. And then when the ditch gets dipped out or whatever, it causes all sorts of problems. So,
which could be substantial on lot 7 if it goes substantially that way.
Oh, that's exactly right. I've seen some of these plans where the easement is 150 feet wide, which would essentially eliminate the entire lot. So it's
that.
Yeah, it's a very good point. We will. Like I said, I thought perhaps it might show up in the technical advisory committee comments, but since I didn't see anything specifically, I will contact the DENREC office here in Georgetown. I've spoken with those people before, and they're very helpful. They're very helpful.
Comment number 8 from the TAC letter states the property owner of lot 3 would need to be made aware. Do you have any problem with the entrance of lot 3 going off onto that main, off to your new entrance road?
Do you know the?
Yeah, they bought the lot from us.
You know those people there, yeah. And the comment was, could their driveway be moved to come in off of the road? I don't know. But it depends on. I don't see, since the two entrances would essentially be right
side by side
next to each other.
Next to one another.
I don't see the problem where that's I don't see where that's a problem necessarily. If you have an entrance every 100 feet, that's a problem. The two right next to each other, the cars are. I don't anticipate that were the problem, but that's always seems to be the Delbot note. If we could do something there. I don't know if we want to address those people or not.
It does say a letter from the property owner of lot 3 will be required indicating the approval/denial of relocating the entrance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you would need to get that.
Yeah, we can do that. I don't know if they would be agreeable to essentially closing off their driveway and using our road. They have a nice paved driveway. I don't know if we are going to be required to pave our private road. So their driveway may be better than our road.
They'd be required to pave.
I would assume the entrance would have to be paved. I don't know if the entire roadway would be paved to the cul-de-sac.
Four lots. Yeah, it has to be improved to county specification.
Well, is it 4 or is it 6?
Now, the other four, the other two face on public road, so you're looking at the four as being 9, 10, 11, 12.
Four is enough to require.
Four is enough.
As far as the street, but the other two lots are minors. They're just having to be, they already met their max as far as the number of lots they could create. So when they created 6 or 7 and 8, they end up coming back in with all of it. So they had to go to public hearing for 7 and 8 anyway.
So you would have to go to county road standards on the road. So I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lank, anything?
Just to clarify, Mr. Johns asked a question about restrictive covenants, and he made reference to re-subdivision of the property. Mr. Morris answered a question, but we really share from Mr. Lathbury as whether or not they would be willing to put a restriction on saying they would be no further subdivision. Because he's one of the owners rather than the surveyor. So, okay. Mr. Lathbury, if the commission was favorable toward this application, would you object to a condition that it be allow no further subdivision of these parcels?
No, I would not object to that.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Council?
No questions, thanks.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
All right, then. Gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2014-5, Everett C. Lathbury III? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2014-5? Yes, sir. Come on up and give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Mr. Lathbury. Jim Sparks. I live at 32829 Omar Road, which is just adjacent to this property. And this is a case of NIMBY. Literally, the parcel is behind my house and just to the east. And as far as losing the driveway, my granddaughter, we ride out there on our bicycles in the driveway, so we don't want to share an entrance with other houses. And I haven't had a chance to get up to the office and look at the text and the maps because I work, so I'm blind right now is what's going on.
There you go. So you haven't seen this?
No.
Well, there you go.
Sir, if you could just take it back to the podium.
You can take it with you.
So it gets
so we can hear you. Yeah, but you can have that one. You can have that one.
Okay, we're the parcel point 40.03. and there's two houses off of Gray that are on the back side of this 19 acres. So they're going to be impacted even more because they're off a nice quiet road. Omar is a very busy road. Mm. So they're going to have to deal more with it than we are. But I'm not understanding this. 4, 5, 6. There's supposed to be 6 lots.
There are 2 on the side road there.
Okay.
No, well, the ones that are in bold on the map.
Yeah, the bold ones.
On Gray?
2 on Gray.
Well,
on
Gray. That I thought Iwanowitz and Saunders own those 2 lots on Gray.
Well, there's some existing lots on Gray. These are just 2 more lots on Gray.
Oh, there's 2 more.
Yeah. Ah. If you look on that map, it's
7 and 8?
7 and 8, which
okay.
I knew.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, we're 40.03, which is lot 3. And there was some clearing done in the brush right next to us earlier this year. A lot of the brush and a couple small trees, and it wasn't finished. I went over and investigated just out of curiosity. Found a lot of insulin bottles, but... So the entrance would be right next to our driveway, essentially, to that cul-de-sac, Jane Lane. So, see, the problem is, this really isn't such a bad thing, but my concern, like I heard earlier, that it wouldn't happen. What would happen if a small developer come in here and said, hey, how many houses can we cram in this, buy this whole mess, and how many houses can we cram in here? I don't know what's the minimum in an unincorporated area as far as lots. Half acre or?
3/4 acre if they're on septic.
On your own septic. Okay, well, someone come in there and put a pumping station in. Georgia Lynch just put a pumping station in Clarksville on 26 to handle all this new construction on 26. Put a pumping station in there and run force main down to the new pumping station Georgia Lynch just put in. And why not put 25 houses in there, 30 houses in there? And then maybe we'd be impacted to have to tie into a force main or put a grinder pump out in the yard. I'm talking about future costs to us. As this set, this isn't such a bad thing. But like I say, we've got the nice little paved driveway. It needs to be resurfaced. But we get out there, my granddaughter and me ride up and down it, so I don't want to have to be looking over my shoulder. Somebody be coming into their house in this little cul-de-sac, and maybe she'd be out there by herself, and I turn around and, you know. Anyway. I'm just concerned about future development. A small-time developer, not you know, Freeman or anybody like that, of course, because it's too small, but coming in and breaking it up. What's to stop a trailer park from going in there?
Well, for one thing, it's not zoned for
that.
I mean, yeah. could that, is that a possibility that it could be zoned for a trailer park, like Senator Hocker's trailer park, you know, something like that? I'm looking at property values. I mean, we just had this lot.
Well,
sold.
I can answer because a lot of that's hypothetical. They've only applied for the six lots,
yeah,
so that's the only thing that's before the commission today for action. And Mr. Lank asked the question whether they would be agreeable to a condition that no further subdivision be required. So, if this gets approved, I mean that's what they're going to have is the three strip lots and then the three interior lots. So I think they're going to be limited from coming back in and re-subdividing it into 20-some-odd lots.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not so bad. It's just that I was concerned about future development, big development, you know, small-time developers saying, hey, let me buy up all this and put 25 homes in there, you know. Then I wonder, being that we're on lot three, how far back can someone build how close could they build a house to our lot? Like lot nine, say. Like lot
15
lot,
foot.
15?
Could be. Same as setbacks you have.
Serious, because on the west side of me, it's 15 feet.
Well, your side, your lot three, the rear would be adjacent to lot number nine.
Yeah.
Your setback would be 20, his would be 15, because yours is the rear and his is the side.
I see. So basically, we will be impacted just by lot nine, because... Well, lot 12, lot 9. The rest of it wouldn't be so bad. But I'm just afraid of future development, a developer coming in here and saying, hey, and like you say about a chicken house, well, in fact, the little pig farm was not far from us, but we moved in after it was closed down, fortunately. So, okay, that's my problem is future development. I mean, big development. This isn't so bad. That's all I have to say.
All right, sir. We thank you very much. You can hang on to that if you want.
Oh, that would be great. Thanks.
There you go. Happy to do it. Okay, anybody else wish to speak in opposition? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
No, sir.
All right, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office tomorrow.